You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a nonprofit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Unto the Lord, for he is
good. Yes, he is good. As a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, all of your gifts are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. God bless you.
Listen to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio on Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, Spreaker.com. All of our broadcasts are available as podcasts through SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, Blueberry.com, Zoom.com, Stitcher.com, Lisbon.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com. To listen to our broadcast by phone, dial 646-478-0660. Again, that number is 646-478-0660. Go visit and like our Facebook page, When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Also, be sure to check out Christians Against Suicide and Depression. It's a page dedicated to sharing God's love, encouragement, and hope. There are prayer warriors standing by to receive prayer requests, doing intercession for those under attack by the lie and deception of the devil. We know that the devil came to steal, kill, and destroy, but praise God, Jesus came to set the captives free.
Thank you for joining me again for part two of Inner Life versus Outer Life. When I say inner life, I am talking about a life lived by the Spirit, a life lived following God, a life lived trusting God, a life expressing abundant life. And when I speak of the inner life, it does not preclude life in the natural or replace it. But our natural life becomes an expression of our inner life. When I speak of the outer life, I speak of a life of living in the external, a life of performance, a life lived following the dictates of our flesh, a life seeking natural success without having spiritual success, a life lived through the natural mind, through human reasoning, without the influence of God. So now you have the definitions for inner life and outer life for this particular message. Last week, I went through the entire chapter of Matthew 6, and I encourage you to just go through that chapter and go through it slowly and hear what God is speaking. But as you read the scripture, keep in mind how much he loves you. Now, the foundational scripture for this message is found in Matthew chapter 6, and it's verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. This chapter 6, as we went through the different, they're almost like sections. Jesus speaks of doing good works. He speaks of our prayer life. He speaks of principles that we use for our spiritual life, like fasting. He also speaks on our natural life, a life that seeks treasures that are temporal, that they become the priority as opposed to the eternal treasures. So we learn through this chapter not to seek reward and recognition from man, but from God. It speaks to us about living out of God's righteousness rather than our own righteousness. It's also teaching us that when we communicate with God, it's an inward conversation and dialogue. It's not meant to be outward. It's not something that is to be expressed outside for man as a way of showing that we know how to pray, but our prayer life should be an inner life, an inner communication and intimacy with a Father who knows us and loves us. Also, in this chapter, we learn the difference between eternal treasure and temporal treasures. They both have characteristics. The temporal treasure is something that can be here today and gone tomorrow. It's something that, as the scripture says, a thief can break in and steal it. But rather, we're being encouraged by Jesus to seek those things that have eternal value, those things that are of the Spirit, because not only will they value or bring value to our lives here while we're in this earth, but it will follow us into heaven. Glory to God. Also, this chapter shows us that God will supply, he shall supply all of our needs. Amen. And we are important to God. He speaks of how he spent all this time creating this world that it would be cared for, the flowers and the grass and creating rain and how he takes care of the animals and the food that they need is growing up out of the earth. So, I mean, God has in detail prepared for nature. And he's saying to us that we are of much more importance to him. We are his beloved. Going back to Matthew 6:33, seeking ye first the kingdom of God. Let's look at where is the kingdom of God. And we need to remember where the kingdom of God is. Most believers who've been going to church and hearing messages and reading the Bible, you've heard or you've read this scripture, but you need to keep this in the forefront of your mind as you move through your daily life. So go with me to Luke chapter 17, and we're going to start in verse 20. I'm just going to read 20 and 21. And it reads, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees," and this was Jesus, "when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Whenever you hear a reference to the kingdom of God, recognize that the kingdom of God exists with you. When you were born again and your spirit moved from death to life. Now you're alive in the spirit. And the very presence of God by his Holy Spirit has moved in and lives in you. And with him came the kingdom of God. So it is within you. Let's look at the elements of an inner life, or the ingredients of an inner life. I want to start Matthew chapter 18, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. And our first element of an inner life is being childlike. I'm going through these different elements of an inner life, and it's not that they're in any particular order, but just as I was being given these words by the Holy Spirit, I just put it in the order that he gave me. So doesn't necessarily mean that that's the priority, or that one is greater than the other, but just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about these things that I am going to go through, the elements of an inner life, being childlike. In Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And what do we know about children? Children are very dependent on their parents. Children are very trusting. They're easily influenced by that figure in authority, which is usually their parent or whoever is acting in that position of parenting. They love very easily, and they respond to love very easily. In this world, we develop this mindset of, "Oh, I can't wait until I'm an adult and I can make my own decisions and I can do what I want to do." But those feelings are actually coming out of our flesh. That nature that operates apart from God, it wants to be its own boss, and it wants to be the captain of its ship and determine which way their life should go, even though at the point we don't even recognize that we clearly lack the wisdom and the understanding about our lives in order to actually navigate in this world, and we don't understand that we actually don't even know ourselves. We've been blinded by all of the labels and the things that people have said to us and things that people have done to us and in the particular environments that we have grown up in, and those have been our identifiers, you know, whether my skin is black or whether my skin is white and how that particular culture may respond to that, you know, whether I'm beautiful or whether I'm not so beautiful and how people respond to that. All of those things have been identifiers in terms of who we believe ourselves to be, and it is not until we begin to develop this relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and through him into relationship with our Father and the Holy Spirit, do we begin to realize that we actually need to humble ourselves and begin to discover who God created us to be, because he has made us so wonderfully, and we don't even realize just how wonderfully we've been made. But it is an exciting journey in discovering who we really are. Amen. And it is discovered as we live in this inner life, this life in the spirit. Another element of an inner life is recognizing that we are not of this world, that we are pilgrims, that we are strangers. And I think this is one of the things, at least even for me, of remembering that I am. I'm sojourning through this world, that this is not my final destination, but I am coming through this world, and I'm coming through it with great purpose. Let's go to John chapter 15, and I'm going to start in verse, well, I think I'm only going to read verse 19. If you, and this is Jesus speaking, if you belonged to the world, it would love you like one of its own. But you do not belong to the world. I have chosen you out of the world. Then if you go to John 17, beginning in verse 14. I'm going to read verses 14 and 16. It says, the world has hated them. And this is Jesus still speaking, but he's speaking to his Father. The world has hated them. That's because they are not part of the world anymore, any more than I am. I do not pray that you will take them out of the world. I pray that you will keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to it. And then in 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 11 through 12, but I want to read this out of the Message Bible. I love the way it reads. It says, friends, this world is not your home. So don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life among the natives so that your actions will refute their prejudices. Then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. Celebration when he arrives. That's speaking of Jesus's return. He said he's coming back, and he's coming back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So recognizing, remembering that we are not of this world. There was a time that we were of this world, but we've been called out. We've been chosen from the beginning, before the foundation of the world, our lives have been chosen, and we've come into this world, and God knew that you would choose him, because we have the choice. He chose us first, and we said yes, and we chose him. Hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. The next element is living in purpose. Remembering why we are here. Well, foremost, we know that every believer is involved in the ministry of reconciliation, and that's bringing those to Christ, reconciling them to God in the whole salvation process. We've been called to partner with the Father and with the Son and the Holy Spirit in this great ministry of reconciliation. But even within that, each one of us, because God makes, there is nothing that is exactly the same. I'll start there. We are all unique. In fact, all of creation, there's a uniqueness. Even on the leaf on a tree, there's not even a leaf that is exactly the same as another leaf. Or one tree, it could be the same species, but it is not exactly the same tree. It won't be the same size. It may not even have the exact same coloration, the exact same leaves. That is amazing within itself. So there is something in you that is unique to only you, just like your fingerprints that are unique to only you. And each one of your fingers have different fingerprints. I'm going to read a verse out of Jeremiah, a very familiar verse, chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Before he formed us in the womb, he knew us. And then it says, "And before you were born, I consecrated you. I consecrated you. I set you apart for my holy purposes." John 15, verse 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide." The scripture has also spoken to us about he has predestined us to good works. Predestined. And each one of us have a specific imprint in those good works. I may be involved in preaching the word, but it will not be like anyone else's preaching. It will be uniquely as God has designed in me, as he has purposed in my life. Hallelujah. Another element of this inner life is God having preeminence. Let's go to Matthew 10. I'm going to start reading I'm going to read from verses 37 through 39. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." These are very strong words, but we understand that from last week when we were going through Matthew 6, the chapter, that it is key in order for our hearts to be completely God, completely yielded to him, he must have preeminence. Preeminence over anything that is in our lives, whether it's people or whether it's things, animate and inanimate objects, whatever it is, that he must be in that position of preeminence. And it's also for our protection, because there is no way that we can experience the true freedom that we have in Christ Jesus if our heart is so tied to something that we cannot move with the Spirit of God. Because God is always going to give us his highest good. God will always, he will be the one that will cause us to even prosper in these relationships. So we can give them to him, trusting him with them. He is good. God is good, and he loves us. And as we delight ourselves in him, he will give us the desires of our hearts. Let me read this verse 39 from Matthew 10 out of the Message. I love the way it reads. It says, "If your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me." Hallelujah. we will find ourselves and we will find him. Luke 7:33 says, "Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." The Message Bible reads, "If you grasp and cling to life on your terms, you'll lose it. But if you let that life go, you'll get life on God's terms." There's nothing greater than God's terms. Nothing higher, nothing more fulfilling. True joy, true peace. Another element of the inner life is remaining in a position of rest. Remaining in a position of rest. And I chose this particular scripture in Romans because I believe that it brings so much rest into our lives, and it frees us up from having to live a life of always being conscious of sin, living a life where we're more focused on sin than we're actually focused on Christ. Romans 8, and I'll begin in verse 1, and I'm going to read the first 4 verses. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." And this walking according to, that is actually, it actually means the state in which one is living. The state in which one is living. We should be living as one who has been saved by grace. That the price has been paid for sin. Before we were, for our generation, those who were born after Christ, they were all our future sins. And they were paid for. They were dealt with on the cross. This is not something we have to keep revisiting. And one of the issues that the body of Christ has had to deal with is that we have been so focused on behavior, sinful behavior. And all it has done, it has brought us into more bondage. It has not caused us to live in the righteousness of Christ, because it gets us into that position of performance, that we change our behavior, that through work that we become righteous, as opposed to living through the righteousness of Christ, that we are now in him, and all that he is, we are. We are joint heirs with him. I'm going to read out of the Message, and I love this caption that it had for over these particular scriptures. It said, "The solution is life on God's terms. With the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, that fateful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into crisis being here for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud." That black cloud is living under that sin consciousness. "A new power is in operation. We are no longer under the law of sin and death. A new power is in operation, the spirit of life in Christ. Like a strong wind has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. Hallelujah. Verse 3, God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son, Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. This is a once and for all event. It's done. Jesus said, it's finished. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done it. We never could have done it. And if we never could have done it, what makes us think that we can do it now? That we can do what Jesus came to do, was destroy the works of the devil, to make us free from the law of sin and death. This scripture takes the fear out of correction or being disciplined by God. He disciplines us. He corrects us because he loves us, like we discipline and correct our children or a close friend, someone we love. And we know how much this love, how deep this love goes, because it said he so loved the world that he gave his son. His son was the payment in full for the judgment for sin in this world. He took the sins of the world. Liberty comes as we live in this truth, as we embrace this truth, that there is now no more condemnation because we're in Christ Jesus. That sin shall not have dominion, because this power, there's this new power in operation, and it is the spirit of life in Christ. That's where we live. That's our inner life. And everything that springs forth out of this inner life into the natural world is an expression of this inner life. He came that we should have life and life more abundantly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, God. Father, I thank you for this word. Your word is powerful. It is medicine, not just to our souls, but even to our physical bodies. We thank you for this truth that makes us free. We embrace this truth that if we seek first the kingdom of God, that all these things, all the things that we concern ourselves with in this natural life, that you will provide. In fact, you said that you would do exceeding abundantly above anything that we could even imagine or think. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that we have peace with you, Father. Peace with you, Lord. Peace with you, Holy Spirit. I pray now for those who do not know you, Lord, that this message will open up their hearts, the eyes of their hearts, to see this great salvation that is awaiting them. That today they will say, yes, yes, Lord, I need you. I need you. I receive your forgiveness, for I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Come into my life. Live in me, and I live in you. In Jesus' name, amen and glory to God. Friday Night Joy is tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time with Reverend Ray and friends. Glory to God. Amen. So this is the conclusion of inner life versus outer life. I pray that you will continue on this journey of embracing this truth, embracing it and making it yours. Let it come to live and rest in your heart. There are even greater things for you to do, and no one else can do it but you. There is a unique work that you are perfectly fit for in this world as God's representative, his ambassador. You've been given authority and power, so walk in this dominion that you have. Thank you for joining me for this message. Amen. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. And highly favored. Amen. God bless you. Until next time.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.